Well, see how it ties into this parasha in a minute. But the sheets begin with a pasuk in Iyov. Iyov is basically saying that he thought that his hatzlacha, his fortune, everything that he had, was going to last forever. So the way that he presents himself is, Voimer, I said, Imakini egva. So gevia, we know, is a lashon of misa, that along with my kan, my nest, so it sounds like along with, so to speak, his nest egg, like we would say today, along with everything else that he has, that's his home, that's his nest, so I thought I would die with it all somehow intact. V'chachol, arbe yomim. And like chol, I will have many days. So the obvious shaila is, what does it mean, chol? So I think we all right away would say it means sand. Because k'chol ayam. Shall you suffer meroiv? So many, can't count it. So it means I'm gonna live like the sand or something like that. It's just a little bit strange. Arbe yomim is a kind of a funny way to say it. I should have a lot of days, like increased days or something, like the sand. Okay, I guess it's not such a big deal. Matzudas David explains it that way. Because I was such a yashar, I said, when I die, I'll have all of my possessions or whatever. Ritzalimar le secherav beisi. Ad kiyamus, afamarti asher arab yomim. And I said, I'll have hopefully lots of days. Kimisper chalayom, like the amount of the sand that's in the sea or the beach of the sea, whatever. Vul miloshen guzma. It's an exaggeration. Okay. Rashi says something unbelievable. Michachol arab yomim, like chol, I'll have increased days. Oif, it's a bird. Ushmoy chol, the bird's name is chol. Vule niknis alav misa. And it didn't have the knas of death. Shleitoa me'etz adas, because it never tasted from the etz adas. Ulevasoif elef shana, at the end of 1,000 years, mischadeshes v'chayzer mischadesh v'chayzer l'narusay. It becomes renewed and it goes back to its youth. What? So we'll see. We'll see the Chazal where Rashi is coming from, but apparently there's some kind of bird that every 1,000 years somehow is renewed and goes back to its youth. That's how Rashi says it here. The Malbim concurs. Shem oif, shem l'chazal, shechai l'olam.
Every other bird ate from the Yitzhadas?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see where this is all coming from. It's unbelievable, right? Who ever heard of such a thing, no? So Malbim says,
what's this bird called? Phoenix.
According to this, chol.
This is Harry Potter's
Malbim.
I've never read any of the Harry Potter books, nor have I seen any of the movies. But I understand that one of them has something to do with the Phoenix. So when my guys heard about all this, they got all excited.
Well, the Malbim
just saw the movie, didn't read the book. So he says, it's a shame, oif. Amr Chazal Shachai La'olam. It lives forever. It lives forever. V'shekol elef shana yisareif bekinoi. Every 1,000 years it gets burnt up in its nest. V'yashav lichyois. And then it returns to live. V'chein m'shoi v'rei ha'amim ha'kadmoinim. This is like, you know, ancient poetry. Everybody knows about this legend. He's kiru es ha'oif hazeh boif and karev lazeh. They mentioned something very similar. So perhaps in English we could translate it as the phoenix. This is an ancient legend. Now, how does it come into Chazal? So it's a bracious rabbi. So really, I should have put the pasuk on here. The pasuk by the Eitz Hadas is a little bit funny. So if you have a chumash anywhere you just want to listen, it's a pretty familiar pasuk. Pasuk says, "V'teri isha kitav eitz l'machol," that it was good. "V'chisave yilanayim," "V'nechmar heitz l'haskil," "V'tikach mipiryoy," so she took from the fruit of the tree, "V'toychal," and she ate. Then it says, "V'titein gam li'isha ima v'yechal," and she gave it also to her husband with her, and he ate. So the two questions that come out right away from this pasuk are also her husband? Meaning, in addition to who? If we were writing the pasuk, I imagine we would have said, "Vatikach mipiryoy v'toychal," she ate it, "Vatitein le'isha," to her husband. What's gam le'isha? Also to her husband? Did she give it to somebody else? And what does it mean, "Isha ima"? Her husband that was with her? Where was the other one? Was there another one? What? Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, whatever you're going to say about that. But it says, Gam Isha, Ivamp. Her husband, that was with her. Husband with her. What do you mean, with her?
What's the
question? Two questions. Number one, what's Gam? And number two is, what does it mean, Isha Ima? Her husband with her. Isha Ima. Her husband with her. It should have just said, Gam Li Isha. Her husband. It was Isha Ima sounds like her husband that was with her, as opposed to her husband that wasn't with her. The other one was on vacation.
Or with her in the sense that he knew what was going on. He wasn't tricked into it.
There must be something going on, right? You have to explain it somehow. Exactly. So it must be along with it, something like that, right? You have to say something.
Okay.
Exactly. So the Medrash, Brachos Rabbah, says, Gam is a ribui, obviously. He'echila esa behema ve'esa chaya ve'esa oifos. That she fed etadas to all the animals, including the birds. Not the fish. Hakol shamula chutz mi'ayvechad ishmoy chol. They all listened to her except for one bird, and its name was chol. Hadahu dichsiv. Quotes the pasuk from Yoiv. Okay, so that's where it comes from. Apparently, it didn't eat from the Eitz Hadas. And that explains, apparently, that Yoiv can say, I'll have increased, lengthened days like the chol. The Ve'er B'yanai Amri, this is where it comes from, what happens to it or whatever. Elef Shana Huchai, it lives for 1,000 years. Why 1,000? Why does it have to live for 1,000? Where does this number come from, 1,000? But B'sof Elef Shana Eish Yoitza Mikinoi. At the end of 1,000 years, there's a fire that goes out of its nest with Sarafta and burns it up. And what remains of this animal, this bird, is an egg size worth of whatever.
Scrambled?
Hard-boiled, whatever.
Hard-boiled.
Roasted, I think, mistama. Roasted al ha'esh. V'chazer u'magadal eivarim, and it returns, it goes back, and it regrows all of its eivarim, its limbs, v'chai, and it lives. That's the first opinion. Rabbi Yudin is not so different. Rabbi Shimon Oimer, Elosh Shanim Chai, Ulevesef Elosh Shanim Gufay Kola. So it doesn't say it gets burnt up by the nest, it just says its body just kind of, I don't know, get the ends, destroys, I don't know. Ukinafav Mismartin, all of its wings, something happens to all of its wings, Mishtayer by Kebetza, but what's left of it is this egg size. Ukhezra Megadal Evarim, it just simply rejuvenates itself by regrowing the Evarim. It doesn't get burnt up by the nest, that's what it sounds like. It's seemingly not a significant difference between the two. Okay, there's one other place where perhaps this comes up. The pasuk in Tehillim says, "Amaspia." David Melch is praising Hakadosh Baruch Hu. That Hakadosh Baruch Hu satisfies betoiv edyech. That I guess it means I don't know your mouth or something like that. That Hakadosh Baruch Hu satisfies a person with toiv, and then he says, "Tischadish kanesher neuraichi." That he renews like a nesher. So my youth. Because everyone knows that eagles, or nesharim, whatever they are exactly, the griffin vulture, or whatever exactly the neshar is, so neshar has a renewal. That obviously everyone knows that, right? So what is he referring to? HaKadosh Baruch Hu renews his energy, renews him. Like what is he referring to? Olam Haba, Tchis HaMesim. So Rashi writes, Tiskadosh Kanesher Nuraichi, Kanesher Azeh, like some kind of specific neshar, Shemachadosh Kenafa V'Noitza Mishana Leshana. Okay, there's some kind of eagle or nesher or something, that its wings, its feathers, so they are renewed annually. It grows new ones. V'yesh medrash agada, al min nesher shemazkin chayzel narusai. When it gets old, it goes back to its youth. So what medrash is Rashi referring to? I don't know if there's another one on the pasuk in Tehillim, but I do know there's that one in Brachos Rabbah. And if you take a look at the Lashon of Rashi in Iyoiv and the Lashon of Rashi in Tehillim, so you'll notice it ends in exactly the same way. V'chozer l'narusa, v'chozer l'narusa. The last two words of those two Rashis are identical. So even though the chol gets burnt up or something happens to it, but the way Rashi writes it, which is not exactly the way the Medrash says it, but Rashi clearly is referring to this Medrash in Iyoiv, that's for sure. In Iyoiv, he's referring to the Medrash. It says, Chozer narusa, it goes back to its youth. So it could be that that's what David HaMelech is referring to also over there. The question is, what did he mean by that? Like, what is David HaMelech praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for? That he rejuvenates his it's like a mashal? It means his energy? Or is there more to it than that? It's like an inyan of like a tzaddik, and it's talking about Tchias HaMesim and Olam Haba or something like that? Like, what exactly was he praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for? Now, back to a little more Pashup Shad, not at the end of this, I don't know. But in any case, the Mizrahi So he says, Gam l'rabbis behema v'chaya. Right? He's basically a commentary in Rashi. So he says that Gam includes the behema and chaya that she fed the Eitz Hadas to. Bereshis Rabba. So he quotes this whole thing. Now at the end, I underlined it for you, he adds, the im loikain, because if you don't say this, lama niknis aleya misa. Why do the animals die? I don't know, what do you think? The animals would have lived eternally? So I mentioned that Shalish Shudis, you know, the Mishnah Brura and the Shar Tzion and everything else, and certainly when you tie in the Ramchal and other things to this, you develop a whole picture that Adem Arishoin, so it says the day you eat from the Eitz Hadas, you're going to die. Everybody knows they didn't die the day they ate from the Eitz Hadas. So the Mepharshim explained that it means that there's going to be the possibility of death. You know, we'd say it in English, you'll become mortal. You'll become mortal, what? So he didn't wait to Shabbos. It has a lot of consequences. We'll see another one over here, also interesting, I never saw before. So the idea was that the Nachash originally was this Yetzer Hara that was Chutz Mi'adam. Once he ate from the Eitz Hadas, it became something that was internal. Eating from the Eitz Hadas caused all of that, whatever it is, Zumas HaNachash, the Yetzer Hara, whatever it is, to become like an internal part of a person. So the way that we need to achieve our perfection, ultimately, is by separating between the two. At the very least. The
conversations that were had between Chava and the quote-unquote Nachash didn't actually happen?
What do you mean?
If it wasn't actually a serpent-like creature that was walking around talking.
Wait, I didn't say that. I just said that what he is was this external Yitzhar, meaning he was a Mesis. He was a Mesis that tempted her to do whatever it was. But after they ate from the Eitz Hadas, it became an internal struggle. So that internal struggle became part and parcel of humanity. And so in order for a person to achieve the ultimate perfection that we're supposed to achieve, in order to bask in the Zivah Shechina, so a person, or whatever, Olam Haba, a person has to die. Because the separation between the neshama and the body apparently allows this ik to go away. And then with the Tchias HaMesim and the reconstitution of the body and soul together, so then it goes back to the original state of Adam Harishon. And that's how we're able to do that. So that's the whole word of the Malava Malka, right? Is that that bone, that's called the luz or whatever it is, the Mishnah Berurah has a slightly different language, whatever it is, but whatever that bone is, only gets nourishment from a Malava Malka, and since Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz HaDas before Shabbos, didn't even make it to Shabbos, so that luz never got Hanoah from the Eitz HaDas, because it only gets Hanoah from Malava Malka. So Mamela, that bone doesn't have to decay or decompose or anything like that. So a slight jump there. Decomposition and death are not exactly the same thing. Without getting into it, I think it's the Gemara. I think it's in Babasra. The Gemara has this whole idea that there was this workers of Rabba or something like that, and they found this dead guy talking to them in the field. And so they went back to their Rebbe, and they said, you know, there's this dead guy talking. So he goes up to him, he says, what are you doing? What's going on over here? And so the bottom line of the Gemara says, Rekev Atzom was kina. That from the Pasuk in Mishnah, met Rekav Atzom is kina, that what causes rot to the bones, what makes a person decay, is jealousy. But if a person rids himself of jealousy, so he never has to decompose. That's what it sounds like from that. So death and decomposition, that tzarech iyun, how exactly all that fits together. But suffice it to say that they're going to die, death has to happen in order to get rid of the problem created by the Nachash and the Eitz Hadas. So that applies to Adam and Chava, because they're coming back. But the animals? The animals just live and they just die. So what, the world is going to be an eternal place? So the way that he says it, Dimloikein lama niknas alayam misa, he's sort of like asking it misvara. Like, otherwise, why do the animals have to die? Misvara, I would have said, well, I don't know, maybe they should all die, and Adam and Chava are the only ones that should exist eternally. Why not? You know what I mean? But there's a raya from the Medrash. That's the problem. Is that the Medrash, what does the Medrash say? The Medrash is focused on this animal called the chol, right? Hakol shamula chutz me'oif echadish me'chol. Hadahu dichsev kichol arba yamin. So what does that mean? It means that the Medrash is clearly saying that the animals die and the chol doesn't. Why? What's the pshat? Because the chol didn't eat from the Eitz Hadas. So the Medrash, whatever the svara is, exactly why that should be, whatever it is, but the Medrash clearly is saying that the only reason the animals die is because they also ate from the Eitz Hadas. His Machlokes just adds, "Va loisha nasna lehem aisha v'chalo." It's not pshat that she fed it.
It does die, just rebirth.
It comes back by itself without.
So what does it say? It says, "It lives 1,000 years. At the end of 1,000 years, and a fire burns it up, and what remains is a beitza." You see, it never actually says it dies. It's interesting. Kale never says it dies. I don't know. Sounds like it's death, and then it gets rejuvenated, but it never actually says death. What? Rises from the ashes, according to one day. Okay, whatever it is, but the Rav Eliyahu Mizrahi ends. But don't think that Chava gave the animals from the Eitz Hadas. That's not what happened. Even though that is a Lashon HaMedrash, he says Dole Shayich Behutayma De Isha, because the reason that she fed it to Adam certainly is not Shayich to the animals. Like why would she do that? So, I don't know, it's not exactly the lesson of this medrash that I have, but he must have had a slightly different nusach, but he's insisting that it means that they came and they ate it on their own, but because they did eat from the Eitz HaDa'as, it had that consequence for them that they were going
to
die.
Right.
So, apparently, it's just a consequence of Achilas Eitz HaDa'as. That's what you seem to see from that medrash, that the chol didn't eat, so the chol doesn't have that consequence. I don't know. Because the svara of Tchias HaMeisim doesn't apply. I don't know. Okay. The Sefer Chanukah Satorah.
Because it wasn't told that Tchias HaMeisim, that's why they should live forever?
Say that one more time.
The whole reason we're worried about this, if they ate from the Eitz HaDa'as, it introduced death.
Yeah.
So that's why they died.
Yeah.
But if,
oh, right, there would not have been Tchias HaMeisim otherwise. Tchias HaMeisim is only there to perfect the body and soul connection, to allow a person to bask doing Nanimiz Vashchina or whatever else happens in that time period, anyway. I don't know. Seemingly nothing, so I don't know. So here, this is a slight tangent, but a fascinating one nonetheless, that in Masechet Sanhedrin and Testament Beis, That's how the Gemara starts. That in the name of Rav, they said the Adam Rishon wasn't allowed to eat meat. Okay, sounds like he wasn't allowed to eat meat. What? Right, that's what it sounds like, right? Well, we'll see. And then it says, "Meisiv Gemara Sprekta Kasha Hayir Bihudim and Temo Emer." Adam Arishain Mese v'Gan Eden Haya, but he was leaning in Gan Eden. V'Hayu Malachay Asharis Solin LaBasar V'Mesanin In LaYayin. The Malachay Asharis were making him a barbecue, and they were what he called straining him wine. Hitzitz by a Nachash V'Robuch Vaydoi. Nachash peered through whatever the trees or whatever, and he saw the great kavod given to Adam Arishain, and he was jealous of him. And you know, and the that's the end of the story, right? And then from there, all the terrible things happened. So that's the Gemara. So the kash of the Gemara. We'll start with the statement. The statement of the Gemara in the name of Rav was that Adam Rishon wasn't allowed to eat meat. Frek the Gemara kash. Yes, he was. The Malachim roasted a meat. And then the Gemara goes on to.
But they weren't killing the animals to do it.
Oh, good. Did Noach have Aver Minachai? Don't have Marishon of Aver Minachai. So the Medrash says, what do you mean? Achol tochol. You can eat from any tree you want. But Aver Minachai. But Aver Minachai are not allowed to eat. Aver Minachai. How could you possibly asar Aver Minachai on Adam Marishon? He's not allowed to eat meat. Because Rishon Matos is, how's he going to come to Aver Minachai? Bechal Masai Mona. Aver Minachai is meat. If you can't eat meat, can't eat Aver Minachai. You don't eat both these.
You can't eat meat, you can't kill the animal.
Right. But that's the assumption of the Gemara. That's the kasha. In other words, that's the starting point. At least Tosis kasha.
Right.
So that's Tosis teres. He says, "Hadamar lekamon lo hitul adam arishon baser lachila." When it says later on in the Gemara that he wasn't allowed to eat meat, hanu lahamis velechol. Now kill an animal and eat it. But if it died on its own, so then he was allowed to eat it. So if an animal died, he would be allowed to eat it. Ain sham imkain lefiza lachar lemakshia gemar yomidi. So he says, I don't understand the kasha of the Gemara later on then. Because why didn't the Gemara just say that the Malachi Asharis got it from an animal that died on its own? What's the problem?
Maybe they didn't have death before they ate from the animal.
Good. So that's what he's going to say. He asked two questions. He says, that's his first question. So how does it answer the question? Number two, why does the Gemara have to quote this whole business about the Nachash? If you're going to tell me you have a kasha because the Malach HaSharis roasted a meat, so end the sentence there. Why does the Gemara have to quote, and then the Nachash saw the covered, and the Nachash just got jealous, and then blah, 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 blah. Leave that out. Just say that the Malach HaSharis roasted a meat. End kasha. Why do you have to add to the kasha the whole story about the Nachash? Yeah? That's his second question. So something doesn't seem like such a strong question because a lot of times, what are you? The Gemara quotes the price. It quotes the price. It quotes parts that are irrelevant because it quotes the part that is relevant, no? So he says, no. It's quoting the whole thing for a reason because it wants you to know that the Malach HaSharis were roasting him meat when in history? Before the Nachash.
Yeah, he was kicked out after that.
Yeah, but what's the point? Mamela, it had to be an animal that hadn't died. Here? Here? It had to be an animal that didn't die because there was no, even the animals didn't die before the Eitz Hadas. So that's how he explains. That's how he says Pshat Gemara.
Just because it was an Isser for unmarishan to kill an animal or eat it or not die, what does that have to do with the Malach HaSharis? Why would they do it or not?
Yes, I would have said, oh, so maybe the Malach HaSharis are allowed to kill the animals, or maybe it was mystical, angelic meat. Like, he could possibly give other Teirutsim.
It was mud.
It doesn't seem like it was mun, but okay. They roasted it. I don't know. In any case, but that's what he says. So that's just, an application of the same idea. Okay, next. What is it? What happened?
He said the mun wasn't created.
What do you mean?
It was created. It was a mun.
So was Noel's donkey.
No, the mouth.
Okay. So the Gemara does have to do with this week's Parsha. So the Gemara, I didn't quote the whole thing. The whole thing is a fascinating Gemara. If you have a chance to take a look, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Kuf Ches Amud Beis has a whole Shachavataria between Eliezer Eved Avram and Shem. Yeah, the Gemara has a whole Shachavataria between Eliezer Eved Avram and Shem. So, of course, we know who Eliezer was. And who was Shem? Shem Ben Noach. Shem was one of the great Gedolei Ador at the time. So they got together. And so Eliezer starts asking Shem all these kashas, like, tell me, what was it like in the Tabak? How did you feel all those animals? How did it work out? He said, well, we're doing a babish day and night. So he tells him all these stories about the animals in the Tabak and how they fed them. And then he names something called the Arshina. An Arshina. We never heard of an Arshina. So Rashi says an Arshina, oif, ushmoy chol. It's the chol bird. Okay. It's a chol bird. And Rashi, we take up with his lesson, by the way. Rashi writes, oif, ushmoy chol, b'leshan mikra, the enoi mace. Very interesting. That's the Rashi's Rashi. It doesn't ever die. In any case, Ashkechina Abba, my father, this is Shem speaking, so his father is Noach. Ashkechina Abba, my father, found the Gani Besavdi de Tevusa, that the Chol bird was sleeping in its cage in the Teva. Amar Lei, Loi Bas Mizaini. Noach was going around and all the animals are freaking out. The Gemara describes that. I forgot which animal it was. He dropped the worm and he goes and grabs the worm. Like they were going crazy about the lion also. They were going crazy about the food. They were starving. They were being very impatient. So the chol bird was sitting in the cell, sleeping. So Noach comes over and says, what's wrong with you? You're not hungry. He says, I saw that you were very busy. So I'm not going to trouble you. I don't want to trouble you. Amar lei, hey Rabbi, lei tamos. May it be as well that you don't die. Shenemar, but Amar yim kini egvav v'kachol arbi yamim. So, of course, that pasuk from Iyov. So the Marshal points us out on the spot. Seems like there's a steer here between the Medrash and our Gemara. What's the reason why the chol bird lives forever? Is it because it didn't eat from Eitz Hadas, or is it because it had Birchas Hatzadik? He doesn't explain it, by the way. The Marshal just says, v'kala hovin kedarkoi. I don't know what's so kalav, and not sure what his teretz is. Fine. So, yeah. Getting towards the end of it here, so there's the Bnei Sassar has a sefer that eventually put out that has a very interesting Ramazan sometime. So the middle one is the one that's relevant to us. The other two I added because they're really interesting. But the middle one says, V'tikach mi pir yoy v'toychal. Chava took from the fruit, v'toychal, and she ate. Soyfei teveis chol. Why soife teivois? Ramaz lemasha amir razel. Oif shishmoy chol nish ar levasoif v'loy ochal. It was the last, and it didn't eat. Then he adds on, v'hinei chol, the same letters are also roshi teivois, chukav v'mishpatav l'Yisrael. Ki odem harisham l'sham ar mitzvah achas, v'Yisrael mekayim in tariyag. But it's interesting. Now, he also has something else that he says here, that what's Gam Lisha Ima, Gam Lisha Ima, we said was a little bit strange that I should say it that way altogether. He points out that the Rosh Tevois, not in the order, but the Rosh Tevois are Egel. Which he says, Mirami, so the fact that with Chet HaEgel was the Chet Adam HaRishon, it's a das all over again. How do you like that for a premise? And the other one he says is fascinating. Vatitin gam liisha ima. What's ima? I said, right? Ima. Ratzal loymar shahaya ima bezivug v'lehim tinad l'shabbos. He didn't wait for Shabbos to have tashmish amita with her. V'husha garam kol zayis, and that's what caused the whole thing. And there are lots of marimakomas about that, and sneas and all kinds of things. Finally, the Tiferes Shloimoy, who was a Talmud of the Yira Kadesh and the Chayzim of Lubna, say he says the following. He quotes from that Gemara about Noyach, and three lines down he says, Hanira lilmoid mizeh. What is going on over here? What do you learn from this whole bird? And what's the pshat? What are we supposed to learn from all of this? Now, what we're supposed to learn from all of this, he has a specific angle based on that particular Gemara. I just want to point out that bein lehamedrish, bein lehagemara, both of them, where did the bracha of the whole bird come from? Like, what was the midah per se in both of them? That what did it not do?
Eat.
Oh, okay. That both of them reflected some either a patience or a resistance. There's something. Both of them he didn't want to eat. So I'm not sure exactly what to make of that. But because of that, so this is a bird that never dies and it gets renewed. Hanira lilmad mizeh, at least from the Gemara. Kichen yesh b'china sadika mashakorim al Hashem v'hu yanam kamosh shakasa b'tzarasi li karasi v'yaneini. That there's some sadikim that they call out to Hashem and he answers them like we're used to. That's Bechina A. What we usually expect. Sadik Geyser, Kadosh Baruch Hu Kai, all that stuff. But then there's something called a tzaddik that has a different madriga, and they don't cry out to Kadosh Baruch Hu for their inyan. It's a strange thing. That there's some sort of inyan of being good to be silent for the Yeshua of Hashem. Only in their ratzon and their will and in their thoughts, so they are anticipating a Kaddish Baruch Hu's salvation. I didn't want to bother you. I didn't want to bother HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, of course, Pashup Shat, she didn't ask for any makeup or a dress or whatever, only whatever they told her she should take. She didn't want to ask for anything else. But he's saying more, that she didn't really daven beforehand. Klali sold daven, I don't know. So, but in any case, he's saying, okay, we got a new kavanah for Asher, you ready? So when we say Reish, what do we usually think we're saying? Ritzoin Yerev Yaseh, the Ratzoin of the ones who fear him, Yaseh, Hashem does their Ratzoin. How? Right, we would say, okay, and the pasuk continues. And when they daven, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens and he saves them. So how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do the ratzoin of these tzaddikim? By listening to their tefillahs. He says, no, they're two separate madregas. Ritzoin Yirev Yaseh. There's something called Yireya of HaKadosh Baruch Hu simply listens to their ratzoin because they didn't say it, they didn't daven. And then there's Shavasim Mishma V'yoshiyim. Those who daven, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to them as well. So what's he saying? So, because the inyan noyach, like hispalal klum, noyach is that type of tzaddik. He didn't daven. He's not saying it as a negative. He's saying it as a madrega of a tzaddik that tzaddik can't be soivel. He can't handle being toireyach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now you'll say, but what do you mean? But the whole point of davening in general is because it's for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not for us. So that's an interesting thing. You never daven for us. You daven for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every tzaddik is going to daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why am I asking for this? Because you want it to happen, not me. What do I care? Doing it for you. So, okay, so you got to figure it out. But that's what he says. So, then he adds, that's what's going on by Noach. Hashem remembers Noach. It never says Noach Tavin. That's exactly the puzzle that we mentioned, because basically we're trying to say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, our tefillahs are not necessarily any good, and I don't know what the story is with our tefillah. But you should remember us like you remember Noach. Meaning, our tefillahs, regardless, irrelevant. Gam esnoch ba'avah zocharta me'atzmoy. Olo b'zichroinecha, toiv lefanecha, ki ato zoicher ma'asek kulam, ve'in shechel v'mechizah v'decha. K'moikin, similarly, tala zichroinein lefanecha, b'loi tefillah. Even in Shoifreis, when they mention the sound, the kol, not the actual tefillah itself. So, where do you go from there? Does this give us any inkling how to you know, relate to all of this? So, I don't know. At the end, there's some pshatim that you can take a look at and see if you agree, the pshatim that I quote for you in the end in English. But is it possible that all of this is either a physical manifestation or a remez to this idea that this bird represents certain types of tzaddikim, and maybe represents the inyan of tchias ha-meisim, and maybe there's what to talk about, that everything that happens in the world ultimately is merumas somehow in a physical way as well. And that would mean that it's really more of a remez to tzaddikim and the mahalach of tchias ha-meisim olam haba, that they don't really die, they just get renewed in that fashion without having to die, that maybe that's a remez to that. Or maybe there's lots of other things going on. But at least Mara Makomos for a very interesting and unusual topic, and obviously there's a lot more to try and figure out what's going on over here.